last night, Pastor Ben was just not going to be quite there for this morning's service. Good news, I did get a text from him this morning that he is feeling better than he was even just last night, so that's a good thing. But I've got a message for you, and we'll just see how this goes. By the way, you know, if you were here Wednesday, you know I've been dealing with a cold myself, so if you hear me cough, or like I told him Wednesday, if you see stuff running out of my nose, just ignore that part. Just look the other way, but keep your ears open, because God is going to speak to you through this message. And I'm so glad that you are here. So let's just get right to the scripture in Genesis chapter 45. I'm going to start reading in verse 3. This is a story of Joseph. It says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Does my father still live?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come near me.' So they came near. And then he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance.' So now it was, or so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all to his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. So there are still, for there are still 5 years of famine.'" Joseph was a dreamer. I like dreamers. I like preaching about dreamers and preaching about dreams. By dreams, I'm talking about the dream that God imparts to you, the dream that you have in your heart, the dream that encompasses your destiny and your purpose. And you know, I'm the kind of guy that'll preach on, if you have a dream, you should probably be dreaming bigger, because God is bigger than you can even dream. I love preaching about dreams. And one of the things I've discovered in the Bible, that there are patterns to the way that God deals with his people. One of the ways to study your Bible, you know, is just to kind of be looking for patterns. God has certain ways of doing things, and if we can discover God's patterns, it can help us understand what God is doing in our lives today. Now, I think with the story of Joseph, we find a pattern that gives us insight into how God deals with us. We're going to spend the rest of our morning looking at that particular pattern and what I think I've found. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you are doing, for the blessings that you have imparted, and for the destiny and the purpose that each person has been appointed, a holy destiny that you have appointed for them. And Lord, as we look to that destiny, as we try and follow the dream that you've placed in our heart, I pray that you would give us encouragement this morning, that you would give us just the strength to continue on, and the faith to hold fast to what you are doing in our lives, and to recognize the great work that you are involved in, not just in our lives, but in this church and in our community. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we're talking about Joseph. In Joseph, it all began with a dream. God gives this 17-year-old boy a dream. You know, 17 years old, that's a good age to start dreaming. It is. But, you know, any age is a good age to kind of lock your heart in on God and allow him to begin to give you some dreams. The road to Joseph's dream didn't start out so well, though. his brothers hated him because they were envious of him. And that, you know, that's sometimes seen in the world today. It's sad, but it happens that when people get a dream and they start talking about their dreams, some people get bent out of shape. For Joseph, it was a big dream, and his brothers really didn't like it. You know, for us, never despise someone with a big dream. Remember, I said most of us don't dream big enough. Don't despise somebody who has a big dream, because God has a big dream for you as well. You should be a cheerleader for those who have big dreams. You should be encouraging, and you should be praying for them. The fact is, though, that, you know, people who have their own dreams really tend to be the best cheerleaders for other dreamers. I got a dream, and I can still get excited about your dream, because I know we're all on the same path trying to fulfill the purpose and the destiny that God has for us. So let's be cheerleaders. God has a dream for you. Well, Joseph had his dream, but he went through 11 years of slavery. Woohoo, love that dream. He went through 11 years of slavery. He was thrown into a pit. Then he was taken out of the pit, and he had to serve as a servant in Potiphar's house. And then from there, it gets even worse. He ends up going to prison. But in a great miracle, you know the story, the Lord turned Joseph's situation around in one day. In one day. You know, if you don't feel like your dream is coming to pass as quickly as you'd like, which is almost always the case. I know, you know, I said, come on, Lord, bring it on. Let's do it now. But it doesn't always happen that way. And if it doesn't, don't panic. Don't panic, because the Lord can bring everything around in a single day. Where you think you are just so far from fulfilling your purpose and destiny, so far from the dream that God has placed in your heart, it can change just like that. It did for Joseph. You know, the Lord likes to do things in such a way that nobody else can get the glory for it but him. Think about it. If Joseph had worked his way up through the political chain, you know, with really just being savvy in the political world, you know, he starts out, he's going to become the dog catcher. He gets voted in as dog catcher, and then, well, let's move up the line. Let's become a city clerk. And then he moves up to become a commissioner, a councilman, and then the mayor. And then, well, you can get the picture. If he just worked his way up the political ladder until he finally was the leader of the whole nation, well, then Joseph would end up thinking that he was really something else. Look what I did. I worked hard. I went step by step all the way up the ladder. But when he's taken from the prison to the palace in one day, he knows that wasn't me, that was God. Wasn't anything I did there, that was God. Take a look at Psalm 105, starting in verse 17. It's talking about Joseph, and it says this: God sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. You know, fetters, it talks about his feet being bound by fetters. That's a device that's designed to hinder your ability to move. A lot of people try to put fetters on your life. They do, not necessarily from an evil intent. They just kind of like the way you are. They want to keep you where you are. They don't want to have to redefine you. They don't want to have to reconfigure their mindset about you. They like you just as you are. Don't change. Don't go off onto some crazy tangent. Just stay like you are, because we're comfortable with you just like that. Once people know you, they want you to stay that way. It bothers them when there's change. But here in verse 19, it says, until the time that his word came to pass, it's talking about his dream, until Joseph's dream came to pass, the word of the Lord, that dream, tested him. You know, it's good to rehearse that dream in your own mind, the word that God may have spoken over your life. It's good to kind of remember that. Let it be established in your heart. Let it be established in your mouth. How many of you feel like you've had a word from the Lord at some point or another, that you know there's some destiny in your life that God is going to fulfill? For me, it came very early in my Christian life. Just one day in my prayer closet while I was praying, God revealed some things to me, and I was like, I didn't really understand it at the moment. I didn't understand the magnitude of it at the moment, but it's like, okay. And that just began to build. One of the things that is interesting about God revealing some of that to you, the problem is we don't have a good grasp of when it's going to happen. You know, if I ask you, okay, God's given you a word, when's that going to happen? You'd probably tell me you don't know. And if you did tell me, oh yeah, it's going to happen on this date or this, you know, 6 months down the line, this is what's going to happen, I'd go, yeah, you're probably wrong. Because God doesn't, God tells us what, but he rarely tells us when. Oftentimes, he doesn't even tell us how, right? Because the times and the seasons, they belong to the Lord. You can be sure with whatever that word is, there's going to be some testing. There's going to be testing. That's what it says here. The word of the Lord tested him, tested Joseph. Why? To see if you're going to be faithful to the vision. To see if you're willing to pay the price. To see if you'll give up. Back to our story here about Joseph. Joseph was promoted to the palace in one day. But you know what? That's the fulfillment of his dream. The fulfillment didn't come for another 2 years after that. See, Joseph was doing good. We'd all have to admit that. Even when the famine breaks out, he's unhurt by it, right? You know, oftentimes your trial helps you. It teaches you to live above the circumstances. Other people were in need, and that led to the fulfillment of Joseph's dream. It led to the fulfillment of his dream, which was when his brothers and his parents came to Egypt looking for food. Now, I want you to understand, that was 22 years after Joseph had the dream. 22 years. Some of you have had a dream and you held on to that dream for a couple of years. But then you gave up. You didn't see things happening like you thought they should. Like if it was really from God, then well, it would have happened this way. And that's where we get confused. Joseph didn't see the fulfillment of his dream for 22 years. Think of what that must have meant in his brain as he's going through life and everything is just going in an opposite direction. He is not being worshipped. He's not having his brothers and his mother and his father bow down to him. He's the guy who's in slavery. He's the guy who's in prison. Think about that. Don't give up. Don't give up. And I tell you this, one of the primary patterns, I talked about patterns in the Bible, one of the primary patterns that we see in the Bible is death, burial, and resurrection. See, the world would say, oh yeah, that dream, it's dead, it's buried, it's gone, give it up. And in the world, it is that way. If it's dead, it's done. It's over. But with God, it's dead and buried and resurrected. Hallelujah. See, that's how you know that it's God. When it's dead and it's buried and then it gets up again, you know that wasn't you. You know that was God. That was God. God very often takes your dreams through that sanctifying process of death, burial, and resurrection. Because when a dream has died, I mean, after it's been laid in the grave and nice words have been spoken over it and everybody has gone home, after all that, when it gets back up and comes to life, then you know it wasn't you, that was God. Some of you need to remember the dream that you wrote off as dead and buried some time ago. You know, that dream, you already had the funeral for it, and you've already passed on by it, and you no longer really consider it anymore. Some of you need to start refreshing your memory about that dream. Remember, God took the prophet Ezekiel to the Valley of Dry Bones, took him to this valley in a vision, and Ezekiel looks around, and all there is nothing but these dusty, dry bones, and God asks him a very simple question. He says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I love his response. He says, "Only you know, Lord." It's like, okay, I'm not going to step into this one. I don't know. Only you know, Lord. Good answer, good answer. And God tells Ezekiel to prophesy. You know what it means to prophesy? It means to speak the word of the Lord. It means to say what God is saying. Some of you need to gather up those dry bones of that dead dream, that failed vision, and you need to begin to speak the word of the Lord over that. What was the original Lord for you? The original word of the Lord for you. What was that? What was that? Find some scripture about it. Speak to those dry bones. But also remember a key truth about dreams coming true in your life. The dream is never really about you. The dream is never really about you. See, we always thought that dream came true for Joseph when he ended up in the palace. When he is made second to Pharaoh, we think, see, God just brought about his dream. No, that was not it. The purpose of the dream was not for Joseph to be some big highfalutin big shot. The purpose of the dream was for Joseph to be the guy who would save a household, to save a nation, to save the seed of Abraham. That was the purpose of Joseph's dream. Dream wasn't about Joseph. I mean, Joseph was just in the dream, but it wasn't about him. Now, a 17-year-old boy, he has a dream, and in his immaturity, he figures he's going to be the big shot, and he gloats over the fact and he thinks about, you know, his older brothers and his father and his mother. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, brothers, mom, dad, guess what? One day I'm going to be a big deal, and you're all going to bow down to me. No wonder his brothers hated him. Come on. But that wasn't the dream. The dream was that he was going to save his brothers and his family. The dream was that he was going to preserve the lineage of the seed of Abraham on the earth. It wasn't about Joseph. It was he who just happened to be a part of the dream. Truth of the matter is, your dream is the place where you're going to find satisfaction, you're going to find fulfillment. In that dream, you are going to find purpose, and you're going to like it. But it's not about you. It's not about you. So you have this dream, right? And that's good. But maybe you need to step back a bit, have a little maturity, and say, I wonder what this really is all about. What is this that God is trying to show me? What is this that God is trying to accomplish in my life? It's not simply about me. I mean, I hope you realize, if you just think about this church, the dream of Visible Church is not about Pastor Ben. Right? It's not, Pastor Ben is going to build this great church and there's going to be thousands of people that are coming. I'm prophesying right now. There's going to be thousands of people that are coming and we're going to have this huge building and it's going to be wonderful and it's just going to be glorious and worship is going to be like you've never heard it. That may be all a part of the dream, but it's not about Pastor Ben. It's not about me. It's not about us here. Joseph's dream was not about him. In fact, things really didn't start to turn around for Joseph until he began to get interested in the dreams of other people. Ooh, that's a very important insight. Joseph, things didn't turn around for him until he got interested in the dreams of other people. Right? It wasn't until he interpreted the dreams of those who were in prison with them that things turned around. You know, when someone's trying to share a dream for their life, the vision that they feel that God has placed on their heart, and all you can think in your heart is, okay, come on, quick, get this finished so I can tell you what's on my heart. You're probably missing it, all right? You need to pay more attention to their dreams. You need to become more interested in their dreams. When we talk about being a cohesive unit here, we're talking about fellowship, we're talking about living life together, we're talking about, you know, just developing those relationships. Part of that development is finding out what their dreams are. Why? So that you can be a cheerleader, so that you can be a support, so that you can help. So ask the Lord, what is the purpose of my dream? But also pay attention to the other dreams around you. Part of the purpose of your dream, I can assure you this, is helping others achieve their dream. Mm-hmm. The dream of Joseph having dominion was about his brothers and saving the seed of Abraham. So if the focus of your dream doesn't eventually shift to others, you know, it's eventually going to corrupt you. If Joseph's dream didn't focus on others, he would have been just another tyrannical leader, unconcerned about the needs of people. You know, they would have reported to him, "My Lord, there are people starving in the streets." And he would have just said, "Yeah, let them eat cake." See, if you don't find God's purpose for your dream, not what you think it is, but if you don't find what God's purpose for your dream, you will end up corrupted. You'll end up becoming a failure at being successful. You need to understand that about prospering. You know, how many of you have a dream of prospering? I mean, that's a natural dream. I mean, you know, when your dream comes true, you'll be doing well. Well, if all you dream about is your big house and all of the beautiful cars in your 10-stall garage and that million-dollar vacation home on the side of your own private lake, if that's all it is to you, that's eventually going to corrupt you. Because the real essence of your dream needs to be for others. That's your purpose. You know, think about this. Let's say you are into racing. You love cars. You're so into racing. You wanna win the Indy 500. Well, that's cool. You know, God has used many people who have come to prominence to be a witness for Him. But if your only desire is to end up in the winner's circle and have your friends spraying champagne over you while some buxom blonde gives you a kiss on the cheek to say you're the winner, you are going to be corrupted. You are going to be totally off base. You will not at all achieve the purpose that God has for you. Ask God to reveal the eternal purpose of your dream. The eternal purpose. I mean, you may have an idea of your dream, and oftentimes it doesn't reach into eternity. But I tell you what, every dream God has placed in the heart of a believer has an eternal purpose. In Joseph's mind, his dream ended with everyone bowing down to him. Not much of eternity in that. At 17, he didn't have the maturity to think beyond the obvious blessing in his life. He didn't think beyond himself to the eternal purpose. In Genesis 45:5, we see the eternal purpose. He says it right here. "But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves," he's talking to his brothers, "because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." That was the eternal purpose. In fact, we'll tag that with Romans 8:28, a familiar verse to us. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. See, when you've committed your life to Jesus Christ, you have this precious promise that God will cause all things, even the bad things, to work for good, to bring about good in your life toward your divine destiny. Now, don't misunderstand. I didn't say that God causes all things, but God does cause for the believer all things that happen, even the evil things, even the things that come from Satan, even the things that crawl out of the pit of hell and jump on your life. God can still cause those things to work together for good for your divine purpose. And as it happens, as those unfortunate things happen, it reveals purpose. It's like the process of panning for gold. Now, has anybody here ever panned for gold? Oh, look, I haven't, but I've seen it in the movie, so I know what it's all about. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, you get your little pan, and you get to the little creek, and you scoop up some mud and stuff, and you just kind of start shaking it around, and you're looking, your eyes are on the prize. You are looking through that muddy, mucky stuff, and you're looking for just a little spark, a little something, a little gold fleck. That's what you're looking for. It's not the mud, though there's a lot of it. When you are in this process of fulfilling your dream, you're going to see a lot of mud. See, for Joseph, all of his hopes and dreams seem to be coming up mud, right? Shake it around a little bit. Oh, there's more mud. Oh, well, now I'm going to have to be a servant in this guy's house. No, now I'm going to go to prison. I'm going to be there in the dungeon with all the bad people and the rats and stuff. And then all of a sudden, the pit and Potiphar and the prison starts to make sense. He begins to see those gold flecks begin to rise. He begins to see that out of that mud is coming something good. Joseph may not have enjoyed it. We know he didn't enjoy it, but it's obvious something good came out of it, and God can do that for you. So, one day, your pit and your Potiphar and your prison are going to be revealed to be working together to help you on your way to your dream. But what is the great purpose of God? I said you need to find eternal purpose in that dream that God has given you. Well, again, let's look at Romans 8:28 and continue on. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's eternal purpose is that God would have a son with many brothers, many brethren, many sisteren. Is that a word? Many sisters. God's eternal purpose is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's family. That's what his eternal purpose is. And he wants sons and daughters that bear his image. Isn't that what it says? That we would be conformed? We're predestined to be conformed to his image? That's his eternal purpose. So was there purpose in the pit and Potiphar in the prison? Well, there are several purposes. I mean, the devil's purpose was, of course, to make his life a living hell, to ruin him, to kill him ultimately, to get Joseph to give up on the dream, to let the dream die. But God also had a purpose. And because Joseph held on to the dream, listen to this, because Joseph held on to the dream, and he continued to love God, and he served God, he didn't give in to the flesh. He didn't give in to unfaithfulness, even when he didn't understand it, Joseph fulfilled God's purpose. And that in itself is going to be a revelatory statement for many people who are here today. You know, when all you can see in your pan is the mud, keep going on. Keep serving God. You know, you can worship beyond your understanding. Everybody say, amen. Amen. You can worship beyond your understanding. There's plenty of things that I don't understand. Especially in the midst of trial and turmoil, I don't understand it, but I can still worship beyond my understanding. And I've got to worship beyond my understanding because my understanding is pretty limited, right? I only know just little smidges here and there, little things that God reveals to me. I don't understand the full picture, and I won't until it's over. Think of all that Joseph did not understand about what was happening in his life until he gets to that day when his brothers are crying at his feet, and he says, hey, this is the whole purpose of it. Joseph didn't understand it all, but he held on to his purpose through it all. And because Joseph loved God and he held on to that purpose, God turned it all around for good. And now, the whole story has been revealed. I tell you what, we have to admit, the trials made Joseph a better man, didn't it? I mean, all that mud pulled compassion out of his soul, and it became the foundation of his later greatness. God causes all things to work together for good for those who are called with a purpose, that he would have a household of sons and daughters that would be conformed to the image of Jesus. You know, Jesus is a blessing everywhere he goes, for everyone he meets. That's the image we're to be conformed to. When Joseph became prime minister, they changed his name. He was no longer called Joseph. He's got this long name. I'll see if I can pronounce this. Hang on to this. He was called Zaphnath-Paneth. Joseph, if I got that wrong, forgive me. Zaphnath-Paneth. Something like, that's got to be 15 letters or more long. Anyway, it's an Egyptian word, and you know what it means? Savior of the world. And of course, at that time he was, wasn't he? The name was fulfilled. And it's an obvious type in the scriptures of Christ. But it's also just a man being like Jesus. See, that's God's purpose for you, to be like Jesus, so that you are the kind of, well, now be careful, don't go off the deep end on this, but you are kind of a savior. Not the savior, but you're kind of a savior to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your neighbors. I mean, you are the one who can bring the word of life to them. Amen? You are the one that can bring the power of Jesus' healing to them. You are the one that can bring the compassion and the love of Christ into their lives. You're kind of... Remember, I said you have to find God's purpose for your dream. There's always that redemptive agenda in God's dream for your life. Now, God wants you to be happy. But that's not God's purpose for your life. Good golly, no. God never makes happiness an end in itself. If we pursue happiness, if that's what we look for as our end, we will not attain it. If we determine to pursue happiness, we are going to fail. If we determine not to pursue happiness, but instead we determine to pursue God's purpose, we end up happy anyway. I like that. See, God's purpose for your life will always end up being redemptive to those around you. You hear that? The purpose for your life is going to be redemptive for those around you. Now, I'm a happy guy. I know. If you look at me in most instances, I probably look like I'm really intent on something and I'm this just grumpy old man and you don't want to bother him. You know, just leave Pastor Bill alone. He's just doing his thing. But honestly, my face belies the reality of my happiness. I am a happy guy. I'm really... Truly, I am one of the happiest people that you will meet. Now, I'm happy to be a pastor in this church. I'm happy to serve. I'm happy to, you know, to oversee the things in the tech booth, even when things are going wrong. I'm happy to do stuff with in everything that I do. But none of what I do is about making me happy. This is about people being redeemed. And families being restored, and lives being put back together, and bodies being healed. That's the purpose of it. And the more I understand that, you know, it's not about me. It's about them. The more I understand that, the more I step into that purpose, the more happy I become. One final point. When you've gone from the pit to Potiphar to the prison and then to the palace, you're finally in a position of power. Don't make the mistake of thinking that it's payback time. Don't get all arrogant and start rubbing it in the noses of those people who were your former detractors. Because, you know, at that point, it kind of feel pretty good. See, you were wrong. You were wrong. Don't do that. Don't use your position and your power to get revenge for those people who tried to discourage you, even for those people who tried to destroy you. Don't do that. Look at Genesis chapter 50. Back to Joseph here, starting in verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us." See, they're thinking, uh-oh. Dad's gone, and now Joseph is going to be able to do whatever he wants to do. Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of the servant of God of your father.' And Joseph wept." He didn't go, "Aha, yeah, that's right. I can take advantage now." No. It says Joseph wept when they said that to him. And his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants." And Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is to this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of Jesus. Instead of grinding those people into dust that spoke evil of him, those that mistreated him, those that really tried to destroy him, what did he do? He lifted him up. He spoke kindly to them. He comforted them. He forgave them. He provided for them. That's just like being like Jesus. All right? Savior of the world, redemptive purpose for his life. Let's be like that. Let's allow the purposes of God, that dream that he has instilled in our hearts, not just for you, but also for this church corporately. Let us allow that to be just full of the life and the purpose, the redemptive quality of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I know there are people here who have had dreams and they've let those go. You might want to pick that up again. Dust it off a little bit. Maybe now you're a little more mature. Maybe now some of the things that have happened in your life have brought you to a place where God can even move you further ahead than what you thought, if you will once again begin to focus on Him and allow Him to work in your life and not do it on your own strength, not do it because you think, well, I got to accomplish something. No, you just follow Jesus. And that dream is going to come about as you remain faithful. You don't allow sin and the flesh to derail you. You don't allow your own immaturity to make you just an arrogant fool about it all. If you have a dream and you've set that aside and this is stirring something in you, then you take the time, even right now, before you leave this building, and just commit yourself again to follow Jesus and allow Him to work that dream in your heart and your life. Amen? Amen. We're going to have people come up who are more willing and capable of praying for you, and they will help you realize all the good things that God is doing. And they'll join their faith with your faith. So you are officially dismissed.
Oh, bless His name.